Just the good old boys, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. And now, another episode of Top Rope Report as we discuss WrestleMania Backlash. Here's your host, Mr. Trivia.
Okay, here we go.
Recording start.
Good evening, everyone. Good Welcome everybody. To another live edition of Top Rope Report here on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, TalkShoe.com. I'm your host, the illustrious Mr. Trivia. Joining me every week, as usual, my co-host, my tag team partner, my best friend, the best in the business, the Nugger Greg. Greg, I can tell by your reaction that I didn't catch on at the right time.
Well, all I ask is when you say, are you ready, I start recording on Anchor. All I ever ask is when you say, are you ready, and I say yes, immediately go to the introduction to the show. Not, okay, all right, I'm ready. Recording started. And good afternoon, everybody. How are you today? You know, it's the little things that make me keep my hair short and not a beard so I can't rip off my hair. It was almost 70 degrees today, Mike. Almost 70 degrees today. Why do you have a beard?
Danny Justice is watching. Danny, thanks for tuning in again. So, WrestleMania Backlash in the books. Like I said, you know, it was a better pay-per-view than I expected.
Absolutely.
What was your
take? Absolutely.
What was your
much
take?
Better. Much better than I expected.
Yep.
You know, like we had talked about, I said there were four matches on this card. There were two matches that I had no expectations at all. But the other four matches, I said, could either be matches that could be A matches or they could be D matches. And we'll go through each of the matches and we'll give our grades, but they were definitely all closer to the A than the D.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think WWF did...
WWF?
WWE. I think WWE did quite well on this premium live event, considering they only had six matches and they really didn't put any more matches together after a couple of weeks when they had the six matches together. So, but like I said, overall I thought it was a good show, and congratulations once again goes out to the little Nugster. Second week in a row, he's won the pay-per-view prediction show.
Second prediction show in a row. And premium live event.
Premium live event. I don't know.
That's why I just call them prediction shows. I don't call them pay-per-view prediction shows. I don't call them premium live event prediction shows. They're just our prediction shows. We only do prediction shows for the multi-matched premium live events. So that's why that way I don't fumble the ball. Is that a nipple? Is that a boob? Is that a boob and a nipple up on my ceiling there? Right there, see it?
Let me tickle the nipple.
Anyway.
So, I mean, if you're ready, we can go over matches and talk about each match and give our grades.
Well, originally I said you can go first because you had a higher score on the prediction show than I did, but then after further review, we had the exact same score. So, I don't know how we choose who goes first, unless we can just, this is what I can do. We'll do this, random order. So see how it is? Do you see that? How?
Yes, I see it.
Okay, so now whichever name comes first. So my name is actually listed on it before yours.
Okay.
So I'll go first.
Alrighty.
Which you wanted me to go first anyway, so it works out in your favor. Day one, I did go back and look. They did have a pre-show match, but they didn't have one at the Royal Rumble. They didn't have one at Elimination Chamber. They didn't have on either day of WrestleMania, and WrestleMania Backlash followed suit with no kickoff show match. It was announced late in the kickoff show that the first match of the night was going to be Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins, which was one of the picks that both Mr. 24/7 and Little Nug had. So I guess I get to talk about this match first, and you know, I'm getting to the point as to where I want to see another match between these two. I got a feeling that it's over. Cody Rhodes beating him twice. Maybe they introduce somebody else for Cody Rhodes. I know your friend Dave, you know, mentioned on the live before that Cody Rhodes is taking Austin Theory. I don't know if that's true. There's no, as of 5:30, there was no preview for Monday Night Raw out that I saw. I know the XL Center in Hartford, Connecticut is advertising a dark match of Cody Rhodes versus Seth, or a match between Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Once again, it's speculated that that's going to be a dark match, but nothing has been advertised. But this match was the perfect, and I messaged you and I'm like, that was a great way to kick off a pay-per-view. That's the type of match that I always anticipate to be the first match of a pay-per-view. Something to get that crowd in their seats, get that crowd going, nuts, cheering, booing, all the emotions, a drag-down, knock-em-out, you know, battle between two superstars. And that's exactly what we got last night. And it went back and forth, back and forth. I mean, Cody Rhodes kicks out of a pedigree. I mean, Seth Rollins kicks out of a, I forget what he calls it, the Rhodes. What is that thing? I was going to say end of Rhodes, but it's not the...
I don't even know what he calls it, but it's a pretty impressive move.
Crossroads, that's it. And Seth Rollins kicked out. I mean, just so much was going back and forth. It was just... You know, I was afraid to sit on the end of my seat because sometimes when I've sit on the end of my seat, I've fallen out of my chair and it's not easy to get back up. So I tried not to sit on the end of my seat, but that's what it was. As I'm pins and needles. I gave this match a straight up A, top to bottom, across the board in this match.
Definitely. I mean, you know, the crowd sets the tone for a premium live event or for any WWE show. And that was the one that got the crowd going. It was a great way to start to pave the show off. Cody, I mean, I even said it before, I think Cody Rhodes made a good decision coming back to WWE.
Yeah. He looks revitalized. I mean, not that I saw much in AEW, but later on in, you know, the end in AEW, it's like, it almost seemed like he was phoning in. It's where he seems revitalized.
Right, he seems like he has a passion for the business again.
Yeah, I mean, $3 million a year will give you passion, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, yeah, I mean, the match went back and forth. Numerous two counts from each guy. Both of them kicking out of their signature moves. It was definitely, and I would definitely love to see another match between these two. I mean, I would even go as far as to say I would love to see the both of them in a Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I just don't know how we get there. That's all. If Rollins had won, then I could see another one at Hell in a Cell. But with Cody winning both matches, I don't see how we get there.
But I definitely agree with you. I gave the match a straight up A.
Okay.
Even the entrances, I give it an A. Right from the beginning to the end.
Okay. I don't remember there being anything big and special about the entrances, but...
No, I'm saying that's how good everything was, even the entrances, even though they're the same.
Oh, okay. Rhonda. Morgan, we'll get to our Rhonda opinions in a couple more matches, kiddo.
Yep.
The next match, speaking of MVP, we had Bobby Lashley taking on Omos. What'd you think?
Well, I mean, I was kind of happy to see, you know, Omos got the W, because now it's 1-1, and are they gonna, you know,
1-1
instead of a rubber match between the two of them?
What are you talking about? 1-1.
Well, Bobby Lashley won the first time.
No,
at
he
WrestleMania.
Didn't. No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He won the arm wrestling contest they had.
Bobby Lashley gave Omos his first loss.
Did he?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yep. And, but, I mean, Omos with MVP, that could be a good pairing. I kind of thought it was an okay match. I mean, you know, I knew MVP was going to get involved, and, you know, you can see their handwriting on the wall with that. I gave the match a C+.
Yeah, this was one of the two matches that I didn't have any expectations over. Omos not dominating match from beginning to end was the right decision. I mean, the match almost went 9 minutes. 8 minutes and 50 seconds. And Bobby Lashley was able to, I mean, he got Omos down to his knees and then actually briefly put in the Hurt Lock. And then kept it on when Omos stood up. And then it wasn't until Omos backed him into the corner, you know, and had the ref count to five to have to break the hold. You know, MVP with the cheap shot towards the end. And then the power slam by Omos. And then the pin for the 1-2-3. Yeah, and like I said, I didn't remember that Bobby Lashley won at WrestleMania. So, regrettably so, I think that means we're not done with Omos Bobby Lashley. But because I got a little bit more enjoyment out of this match than I expected, I'll go a little bit higher than you and give it a C+.
Okay.
And that video package that they did of Lashley beforehand, I really thought at that point Lashley was going to win the match. I really did. But he wasn't able to pull it off. The next match was the third straight WrestleMania rematch, but also the third straight Monday Night Raw match, as was Edge versus AJ Styles. This match could have been an A, or it could have been a D. It wasn't an A, but I'm going with an A-. This match was, and not trying to take anything from AJ Styles, but phenomenal. I mean, the suplex off the top rope to, I mean, everything about it, just back and forth. The ending, okay. Maybe that's why it's an A- and not an A.
Right.
Damian Priest coming out and showing that he was not on the ringside, he was on the ramp. Finn Balor then came and attacked Damian Priest. And when he threw him in the ring, I'm like, oh, great. This match is going to just be, you know, end right then and there. Because all four guys were going to start, you know, brawling, and it was going to be a no contest. But they just kind of went through the ring and disappeared. And who knows where they went? I don't know. Did they fall into a black hole? I have no idea, because they just disappeared. We never saw Balor or Damian Priest again. And then we had the hooded figure interfere with AJ Styles, Edge with the pin, and then it was revealed that Rhea Ripley was the mystery, quote-unquote, man under the hood when, I don't know about you, you can speak for yourself, others out there, I thought it was Ciampa. I really did think it was Ciampa.
Yes,
but like I said, top to bottom, I give this match an A-.
Okay, Anthony Canelli, thanks for joining in. Yeah, definitely. I mean, this match was what I expected. Edge looked good. He didn't see were lackadaisical, but he seemed to be into this match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And AJ Styles, well, AJ Styles is AJ Styles. He's going to give you 110% against anybody. But, yeah, I thought when I saw the hooded person come out, and it's like, Nat, here comes Ciampa, and he's going to join up with Judgment Day. And then when they took the hood off, it was Rhea Ripley. It's like, wow, okay. And, you know, the thing with Damian Priest, and like you said, with Finn Balor, they took off, never to be seen again.
Oops.
I think they found out that the catering was closed, so they wanted to go up there and grab something to eat quick. So, but I definitely gave the match an A.
Okay. Excuse me. Then we had the I Quit match for the SmackDown Women's Championship, as it was Ronda Rousey taking on the champion, Charlotte Flair. You're up.
Surprisingly to me, this match exceeded what I expected. I mean, they just tore into each other. I mean, I expected that to happen, but there was just no quitting either one of them. No matter, I mean, some of the holds and some of the beatings they were taking, it's like, oh my God, that was. And the match kind of surprised me because I thought it was going to be one of those matches that you see on TV, and for some reason something's going to happen where one of them's going to say, I quit. Originally, what I thought was going to happen, I was going to bring this up to you last night in a message during the match, was remember sometimes when they have an I quit match, they'll put the microphone up to the person and there'll be another voice that says, I quit, and then the referee waves it off. They did that in the John Cena match one time.
I don't remember that at all.
Okay. Well, they did that in the John Cena match one time. And,
Okay.
But yeah, the match was definitely better than I thought it would be. And, you know, congratulations to Ronda, which probably means we're going to have to hear her on the mic for another couple more weeks. I just hope they don't take the title off her right away.
I don't think they will.
Give her a little time to run with it and see what she does. I give the match a B+.
Oh, okay. I mean, from the entrance of Charlotte Flair with the jacket / robe that she was wearing made me realize that this match was going to be better than I thought it was going to be. If Ronda Rousey was ever able to put the emotion and intestinal fortitude into her ring speaking skills as she did in this match against Charlotte, she could be one of the best WWE women competitors ever. I just think the one thing that she was missing was that she was just, you know, one two-trick pony. You know, she just flipped you around with the arm drags and then put you in an arm bar. Well, she showed a hell of a lot more than that. She also showed why you're able to do things to her that you couldn't do to specifically many other wrestlers. That powerbomb into the ring barrier, I'm sorry, but any other WWE women's, I don't see them getting up anytime quickly after that at all. I definitely see a referee coming out to check on them to see if they were okay. She just took it like a champ. And that's the one benefit of having a UFC-trained fighter. The first ever judo Olympian for the United States in a WWE ring. And outside the ring as they went up the staircase and she got bent in between the railings. Everything about this match was excellent. And I say shame on you for only giving it a B+. At the end, Charlotte, I mean, either I'm 90% sure that the quote-unquote injury that Charlotte had is kayfabe. I did read an article saying that she had requested time off after this pay-per-view. Her and Andre El Idolo, or Manny is his real name, are getting married this summer. And she said that, you know, right now she has a dress. That's it. Nothing else for the wedding is planned. So she needs to be able to do that. And to do that, she needs to step away from WWE. That's fine. With Lacey Evans coming back, Asuka's back, Bayley right around the corner, Alexa Bliss in on batters, you know, and on batters, you know, on deck batters, you know, just waiting to come back. It's okay for Charlotte to take time away. I gave this match an A-. The only thing I think we need to see now is Ronda Rousey come out on Friday Night SmackDown and turn heel. She's not a good face. Against Charlotte Flair, yes, because Charlotte Flair is great as a heel. Right now, I don't think there's any heel on the roster on SmackDown currently that could carry Ronda's lack of promos. If Bayley comes back, yes, but I think Bayley needs to kind of, you know, get her feet a little wet before she goes into the ring with Ronda Rousey.
I think it would make Ronda a little stronger if she became a heel.
Yeah, because you don't need to talk as much as a heel as you do as a face.
Right.
The match was just over 16 and a half minutes long. It was 16 minutes and 35 seconds. And it was, like I said, I gave him an A-.
That's long for a women's match.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Then we got to the Happy Corbin Madcap Moss match. This was the other match that I really had no expectations on at all. The match surprisingly almost went 10 minutes. This match also went 9 minutes and 50 seconds. Went 9 minutes and 50 seconds, which was a little longer than I thought. But it was actually a little bit better of a match than I thought it was going to be. It was a match where I sat there saying, oh God, you know, when is this fucking thing going to be over? I was actually got invested into it. I thought the match was pretty good. It wasn't the worst match on the card. And I gave it a B-.
Okay. I agree. I thought the match was better than I thought it would be. Madcap Moss, like I said, you know, I've come out on the show plenty of times and said, you know, Madcap Moss can wrestle. I mean, he can mix it up with people. And Corbin, well, Corbin's Corbin. I like his gimmick that he has. I didn't realize that Baron Corbin was 6'8".
But, that's
what they said last night. Hmm. And
how about that senton that he hit? Or senton that he hit? I'd never seen him do that, so.
Nope. And, you know, as I said, you know, a lot of the matches that we saw things from wrestlers that we don't normally see. And I think that was one of the reasons why it made the show much better. I gave it a B+.
Really? You liked it that much? Okay. You like that match as much as you liked Ronda and Charlotte?
Yep.
Wow, surprising. Next, we had the main event. It was the Bloodline versus RK McBro. I've got to go just... You go ahead and talk real quick. I can hear you. I just got to go over here and blow my nose real quick, but I'll be right back.
All right. I really can't say I was disappointed in the match, but I was kind of expecting a little bit more. I mean, would it have been better to see the Unification Tag Team Championship match? Yeah, I believe it would have been. But seeing Roman in the ring wrestling something other than a singles match made it pretty interesting for me. Drew McIntyre, he wanted to get a hold of Roman, and then, you know, Roman kind of a little reluctant to lock up with him at first. And the Usos, well, the Usos are the Usos, and they put on a good match with RK Bro quite a bit. They put a good match with RK Bro. But the match, like I said, the match didn't go the way I expected it to go. I thought RK-Bro was going to win, because as a matter of fact, I think I had RK-Bro winning the match on my prediction.
Yeah.
I believe. Yep. Yeah. And, but overall, I gave the match a solid B-.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I love the match. I thought it was once again. I have
minus.
To.
A minus.
Huh?
Excuse me. I meant to say A minus, not B minus.
Oh, okay. All right. You blew me away there for a second. I know before the match was announced that Charlotte had a, what was it? Suffered a broken radius, but whatever. Roman Reigns trolling the crowd, you know, putting his hand out, you know, talking to Paul about should he go in the ring, should he not, is it worth for him going in the ring, and then putting his hand up for a tag, and then tagging himself back out just to troll the crowd. I mean, it was just great. I've seen people that responded to this match negatively because they said, oh, typical Roman Reigns. Let's 85% of the work get done by his cousins, and then he just comes up and cleans up the last 15%. That's what makes Roman Reigns great.
Yep.
He's the head of the table. Does a general go out and kill people? No. He has the privates, the corporals, he has them all go out. And then he comes out with the flag and puts the flag down and says, okay, we won. That's exactly what Roman Reigns does. I had to go back and watch because I'm like, when it ended, I'm like, wait a minute. He's not the legal man. I'm like, since when does the not legal man allowed to pin somebody? So I actually had to go back and watch it. And when Jimmy Uso or Jey Uso, whichever Uso it was, that was on the top rope when Riddle jumped up and went to give him the, you know, RKO from the top rope, Roman Reigns jumps up and tags his foot, and you see the ref point at the corner and signify that a tag was made. So, like I said, I had to go back and see that because it was something, and it happened so quickly, and I was watching the RKO, not the referee, acknowledge a tag. So, okay, so Roman Reigns came in and got the win. You know, Randy Orton getting the hot tag. I mean, so we had the little Roman Reigns, Randy Orton face-off. We had the Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns face-off. I mean, it just, this, I gave this match a straight-up A. The first match and the last match were the two best matches of the night. Flip a coin, in my opinion, as to which one you want to see with the best match of the night.
And
I loved the grouping of Michael Cole, Pat McAfee, and Corey Graves. I thought the three of them together announcing that match made that match that much better. And I thought it was a great way to end the premium live event.
Yep, absolutely. And I was quite happy with the pay-per-view. My overall grade, I've never given an overall pay-per-view grade or premium live event grade this before, but I think this should get this grade. The overall grade for the show for me was an A-.
Okay,
A-minus to a B.
That's a large.
Well, what comes first? B+, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, a B+ is upper 80s. A- is low 90s. A B is between typically 84 to 86 is a B.
Well, I'll give it between an A- and a B+.
Okay. I would love to give it an A-, but with those other two matches, one being a C+ and one being a B-, I can only go to a B+. We had times of the matches where the main event was 22 minutes, 20 seconds. You know, 9 minutes and 50 seconds for one of the throwaway matches. But Ronda and Charlotte, 16:35. Edge and AJ, 16:25. The other throwaway match, 8 minutes and 50 seconds. And then Cody Rhodes and Rollins, 20 minutes, 45 seconds. Something that they don't normally do, the high-quality matches got the time to put on a good or great match.
Yep. Absolutely. And I just think that, you know, it's a good starting place for Hell in a Cell.
Well,
now they can
we'll
build
see.
Some of the Hell in a Cell matches, you know, off this.
Yeah, but right now, if you take day one, Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, and WrestleMania, both nights, this is premium live event of the year for me. Especially because I don't consider putting any of the big four in contention for pay-per-view of the year, because I personally think those should be 1, 2, 3, and 4, just whatever order you put them in. So I think hands over fist, this was better than either Elimination Chamber or Day One.
Yep. And it was just a good show. I mean, WWE, they did well. Let's see what happens on Monday Night Raw tonight.
No. Why do I feel it's going to be a garbage truck? A dumpster fire. It just, after what they gave us after WrestleMania, I mean, we were blown away by WrestleMania weekend, and then both Monday Night Raw and SmackDown after WrestleMania were torture.
Shit show.
Yeah. So, I mean, I want to see, I mean, not that I, obviously not that I know, but I think we're going to see Edge with Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest explain, so this way Rhea Ripley can explain why she's part of Judgment Day. Whether it's backstage or in the ring, I don't know. We'll probably see something else with Kevin Owens and Ezekiel. I don't know if we'll see Roman Reigns or not. Because even Drew McIntyre, who he might have a feud with, they're both SmackDown. So I don't know if we see Roman Reigns tonight or not.
We're going to see Cody. We'll probably see, you know, like my friend Dave said, you know, Cody versus Theory. It hasn't been definitely said yet, but
we've got to see an introduction of some type of program for Bianca Belair, because if WWE, who now has, I mean, Bianca Belair is positioned as the biggest women's face in the company. If they were to even think about going 2 straight pay-per-views without her having a match, I mean, they'll be rioting. You know, there'll be anarchy. I mean, I'll become a Impact fan because I still can't be an AEW fan for some reason.
Yeah, I think tonight we might see something leading towards a Hell in a Cell match with Bianca Belair.
Yeah, but how do you build something from scratch to deserve a Hell in a Cell a match? Do you mean a match in the Cell or just a match at Hell in a Cell?
A match at Hell in a Cell.
Okay, all right. I could see Rhea Ripley being that person.
Okay. That would definitely be interesting. You know, Rhea's new look.
Yeah.
New attitude.
Yep. But the only thing is Rhea Ripley done with Liv Morgan enough for them to introduce Rhea Ripley to Bianca Belair?
Right. Yeah, that's something. And now, Hell in a Cell is how many weeks away now?
17.
That's June 17th?
No, it's 17 weeks away.
17 weeks away.
Well, I'm confused. Did you, I mean, I don't know if you saw it or not. I don't know if your eyes closed for 13 seconds and you're, you know, reading a story on your eyelids or not. Did you see the Cody Rhodes promo about Money in the Bank?
No.
Well, he did a promo about Money in the Bank being at Allegiant Stadium, and he actually mentioned that the winner is guaranteed a main event match at WrestleMania. Does that mean they're changing what the Money in the Bank briefcase is? Or was that just him saying that, you know, you have this guaranteed contract, you could put yourself in a main event at WrestleMania? I mean, if you didn't see it, I mean, I can't really, you know, I was just a little baffled and confused by that. But you're already talking Money in the Bank when Hell in a Cell is the next pay-per-view. Why are you doing that?
Yeah. And Money in the Bank is after that, right?
Yeah. Hell in a Cell is June 5th.
Okay.
And then Money in the Bank is, I know it's July 4th weekend, but it's July 2nd.
Yeah. And I believe they have two premium live events in the month of July. The beginning of July and the end of July.
Yeah, because SummerSlam's the end of July.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, July 30th.
Yep.
And then they have nothing in August. It's not until September when they have Clash at the Castle.
I know. And, yeah, so I'm, you know, getting back to Monday Night Raw, I wonder, I'd like to see another segment tonight with Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. and see what they're going to do with that.
I mean, I don't know if we're going to see anything until after this Friday night SmackDown's match for the women's tag titles. Maybe we'll see something, but I could see either on SmackDown after the match or the Monday Night Raw after, like, them to officially be aligned as a tag team. And I think that could be a decent team.
Yeah.
No, not the Nikki A.S.H. character. I want Nikki Cross back. Not even the Nikki Cross. I don't know. Maybe the Nikki Cross that was tag team partner with Alexa Bliss. Because maybe the sanity Nikki Cross would be a little too much to team with Doudrop.
Right.
But.
So it's going to be interesting to see where they're going to go with that. And,
What do we think?
I think they'd make a pretty good tag team.
One thing that I also saw was somebody was suggesting that the next feud for Ronda Rousey to be Bianca Belair, and they should unify the women's titles as well.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think the last thing they need to do right now is get rid of a women's singles title. If we had a competitive women's tag team division, then I could understand it, but we don't. Yep. We have way too many singles competitors that aren't used to wrestling in tag teams.
Right.
So that's why when you just throw them together, it just doesn't work, because they're not used to working with other people.
Yep. Now, let me get your opinion on something. I know you're probably going to look at me like I'm crazy for saying this, but sometimes WWE does some off-the-wall stuff with their matches. Do you use Cody versus Theory for the U.S. title?
Where did you see that, Tony? Go ahead, Mike.
Do you see WWE putting Ronda against Raquel Rodriguez?
Not yet. You can't. She's just coming up. She's only wrestled the concession stand lady. She hasn't wrestled anybody else.
Okay.
You know, and that's the problem with having Sasha and Naomi in a tag team. Because heel Sasha could be somebody that would be able to go up against Ronda Rousey if Ronda Rousey was staying the face. While people like Raquel Rodriguez, Lacey Evans, and or Bayley got back into the groove and got back into the swing of things. Because right now, the way I look at SmackDown, they're in a holding period.
Yeah. But let's just say this match does happen tonight. Cody versus Theory for the U.S. title. could see a new champion walking out?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think they're going to put a U.S. title on Cody Rhodes, especially not right now.
Yeah, it says right here on Sportskeeda. It says WWE announces title match for Cody Rhodes on Raw.
Okay.
So maybe Seth Rollins comes down and gets him disqualified.
Yeah, maybe.
They don't notate anything else on Monday except for that one match tonight.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, but like I said earlier during our recap of the matches, I think Cody Rhodes made a real good decision coming back to WWE because he looks fresher, he looks crisper. Like you said, doesn't look like he's phoning it in anymore. It looks like his passion is back. And he is so over with the crowd, it's unbelievable.
Yes, he is.
And I knew he was going to get a big ovation when he came back, but he's definitely over with the crowd.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Did you realize, and I say this, did you know that Cody Rhodes is only 36?
Yep.
I thought he was in his early 40s. I really did. That's why when I was like, he signed a 3 to 5 year deal with WWE. And I'm thinking to myself, is this going to be his last contract? Thinking he was like 41, 42, and his contract would take him like 45, 46, 47. But knowing that he's only 36 kind of makes my opinion of him a little different.
Yeah, well, he mentioned that on the Broken Skull set with Steve Austin. That he was, Steve Austin's like, well, you're not even 40 yet. You're like, what, 37 or something? Cody's at 36.
Yeah.
And,
what do you think is next for Roman Reigns? I mean, do you think it's going to be Drew McIntyre?
Who else do they have?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Who do you think it could be? I mean, I did read couple of things. A story about when they were in, I think, New Jersey. I don't remember what town it was. Over the weekend at a live event. He broke character and was talking to the crowd and, wanted to thank them for everything and all the support that they've given him, because this could very well be the last time they see him, wrestle. And, okay, I'll stop while you interrupt. Go ahead.
I didn't interrupt. I was just putting in my opinion on it.
In the middle of my sentence, dude.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Sorry.
Go ahead. You take it over.
Sorry.
You know what I was going to say, apparently. And then I also read that he has redone his WWE contract, which does not require him to go to as many live event shows and really concentrate more on the television and the premium live event shows. To this date, I think they said this year, he's only wrestled... I want to say they said 5 times on TV or premium live events, but every weekend he's doing 2 or 3 house shows. So that part of his contract has been taken out. So he's not required to go anywhere near as many house shows. So that was more of what, he has outside interests from WWE, but
right
now he said, I'm 100% WWE. Yeah, I have other interests, but I've got a contract to live up to. And that's why he was kind of wishing a fond farewell to the Trenton, New Jersey crowd, because if he doesn't have to do live events, he doesn't have to do live events. Little house shows that have, 3,000 to 4,000 people in it, he doesn't have to go.
Right. Anthony said, argue like a married couple. Well, that makes our show so great.
Well, we argue like brothers.
Yes, we argue like brothers. Now, you had said to me, what's next for Roman? And I said, well, what else do they have? They have Drew McIntyre. Hmm. If they let Roman defend the title between Raw and SmackDown,
right?
I mean, I think you've got Lashley, you've got Seth Rollins, you've got AJ Styles. You've got those guys that would be, I believe, legitimate matches for Roman.
Two of those three are currently involved in feuds. So, you know, you're not going to do AJ, you're not going to do Bobby Lashley, because right now they're, and then been there, done that with Seth Rollins, kind of, sort of. You know, like, towards the end there, everybody got sick and tired of seeing John Cena, Randy Orton. I don't want it to get to that point.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of the issue I see with Roman Reigns being the champion, is he's beaten everyone. I mean, there's not many left that he hasn't beaten.
Now, do you think that by having him unify the title and beat Brock Lesnar is a little bit better because now he's not exclusively on SmackDown? Because, like you said, he's beating everybody else. There's nobody else for him to beat on SmackDown.
Yeah, but
and by having him hold both titles, he can go and defend it on either show.
Yeah, but the only couple times we've seen him on Raw was only recently with this, the Bloodline versus RK-Bro stuff. We didn't see him, you know, the week or two or three. I mean, I think maybe, did we see him the night after WrestleMania? I think it was like, I think it was like the last 3 minutes of Monday Night Raw. He came out and, you know, just said, acknowledge me, and then picked his nose and flicked a booger at the audience, and the show was over.
Yeah.
He took like, there was like 8 minutes left. He took 5 minutes to walk to the ring, and, you know, by the time they gave him the mic, he talked for 38 seconds, and the show was over.
Yep. So, well, we'll have to see what WWE is going to throw at Roman Reigns now.
Because that's why I thought, not only did I think RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre were going to win, but I thought Drew McIntyre was going to get the win more than likely over one of the Usos. So, you know, to kind of, quote-unquote, give him one up over the Bloodline.
Yeah.
But with Roman Reigns pinning Riddle, I don't know where that leaves us with a challenger, unless they're still going to go with Drew McIntyre.
Yep. Which, during the prediction show, I did say Roman was going to beat Riddle, but I said it was going to be by submission.
Right.
I didn't expect to pin. I expected him to use the guillotine.
The guillotine.
But yeah, I mean, overall, like I said, you know, I don't mean to sound repetitious, but overall, I thought it was a pay-per-view that was a lot better than I thought it would be.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Even on the shows that we've done in the past, I said, well, I'm not expecting a lot out of the pay-per-view.
Right.
And it surprised me. So, kudos to WWE for turning goat piss into gasoline, so to speak.
What?
So, I said, kudos to WWE for turning goat piss into gasoline.
Okay.
But yeah, like you said, you know, we got Raw coming up tonight.
So we have
not expected.
Yeah, 4 Monday Night Raws and 4 SmackDowns until Hell in a Cell. So they've got to get their giddy up right now. Especially if they're going to have challengers for Bianca Belair, if they're going to have challengers, I mean, Usos, RK-Bro, because I think at this point, I think we realize that they're not going to unify the tag team titles.
Right.
There's too many tag teams in the men's division out there to just have one title.
Right.
But then we got to see, are they going to come up with feuds for, you know, Ricochet, Austin Theory, who's next for Ronda Rousey? Well, WWE has 4 weeks to figure this all out.
Now, do you think they should start it right now and carry it up until Hell in a Cell? Or do you think that'll give it too much?
Too much what?
What's the word I'm looking for? Or do you think it'll be something that people will be tired of seeing? You know, because like we always say, they always put the same people in the same matches.
But
let's just throw a name out there and say Bianca Belair goes against Asuka. Let's just throw those two names out. Do you think if they want to put Bianca Belair against Asuka at Hell in a Cell, they need to start now?
You can't build a house in one day. You build, you put down a cement foundation. Then you put up a frame. Then you put up, you know, the roof and the walls. Then you put in the electrical and the plumbing. Then you put in the insulation. Then you put in the walls. Then you paint. Oh, I forgot the floors. You got to put floors in. You can't just, you know, I mean, unless it's going to be one of those prefab houses that you see driving along the road with oversized load and a car in front of it and a car behind it with the little yellow lights going like this, and they're just going to drop it off. I mean, this is hell in a cell. I mean, you've got to come up with one or two matches that are worthy to be inside a hell in the inside the cell. I mean, typically one men's, one woman's. I mean, unless you're gonna try and pull off an Usos versus RK Bro in a cell, which I don't know how often they've had tag team matches in cells. I think they've done them in cages, but I don't know about a hell in a cell. But I mean, right now, if you look at it, I mean, would we see Edge, AJ Styles in a cell?
I was just saying that.
And the women, I mean, if they're going to do a women's match, who? I mean, because that's going to take something to build up. You know, are you going to do just a regular match between Becky and Asuka in a cell? I don't know if I want to see that. I don't know.
Right. Yep. So that's WWE's got to, you know, get ready to figure out what they're going to do. Like you said, you know, Hell in a Cell is June 5th. That's on a Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and hopefully it'll all start tonight. So, but anyway, anything else you got to add, Greg?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. You people out there that are still tuning in and, you know, don't really know this, but when we do our premium live event recap, we don't have an Onion News.
No, because it's not a regular show.
Right. Stay tuned next week for another episode of Nuggies News.
Next week? I can't do one later this week?
Oh, well, I just said next week because that's what most people say. Yeah, it'll probably be Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Do the show. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't have anything else to add. If you've got something else to add, then, you know, let's go with it.
Nope. Like I said, I've got nothing else to add for this, you know, for this specific episode.
Alrighty. So, thank you everybody for tuning in with your questions and comments. And on behalf of the Nugs to Greg, this is the illustrious Mr. Trivia from the Top Rope Report saying thank you very much. And we'll catch you all on Wednesday.
The Top Rope Report.